This is a repeat program. Heard previously on WISL 1040.
Gather round, parents, players, coaches, and more. Grab your VIP seating. It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice, provides great training tips, and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. And by Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, gain the competitive edge with performance vision. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong little leaguer, Greg Camp.
And welcome to Youth Sports Now, the weekly radio show that focuses on the topics and issues that affect the young athletes of our community. If you are a parent of a young athlete, a coach, a sports administrator, or a player, we promise to provide you with the timely topics to assist you in your decisions regarding youth athletics. My name is Greg Camp. I'm your host, part-time coach, offensive coordinator, and when it comes to some hot debates, your referee. We promised you on Youth Sports Now that when this show started and started to air, that we would not skirt the issues. Rather, we would face them head on and bring to you, our listeners, advice as well as a different point of view to hopefully make you think, rethink, and then make informed decisions. So, fulfilling our promise to you, tonight's topic is concussions. Concussions are the number one sports media and parental concern today, mainly as more attention is being given to the concussion issue. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 4 million, yes, I said 4 million sports and recreation concussions are determined each year. And that number would most likely increase if all concussions were recognized and diagnosed. So concussions have been, and in some cases, are a silent epidemic. And there's no one better in this arena to talk about concussions than our very first guest. His CV, his resume, his list of accomplishments and advice is absolutely phenomenal. It would take me probably the entire hour to go through everything. But some of the highlights are we have with us tonight Dr. Robert Cantu from Concord, Massachusetts. He is currently a clinical professor at the Department of Neurology and co-director of the Center for Study of Traumatic Encephalology. And I'm going to have to correct myself on that. I'm going to need his assistance at Boston University School of Medicine. He also works with the National Football League as the advisor to the NFL's Head, Neck, and Spine Committee, and also works with the National Football League Players Association. He is the co-founder of the Sports Legacy Institute and also is the medical director for the National Center of Catastrophic Sports Injury Research at the University of North Carolina. And, of course, the CV just continues as he's also the chair of Department of Surgery and director of sports medicine at Emerson Hospital in Concord. Dr. Cantu, are you there? And if you are, please welcome to Youth Sports Now.
Greg, I'm here. I'm delighted to be aboard.
Well, you know, this has been an incredible topic. And you know, as I said earlier, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, almost 4 million sports and recreation-related concussions are recognized each year, and many more go unrecognized. Can you tell our listeners, first of all, what is a concussion?
Well, Greg, a concussion occurs when the brain is violently shaken inside the skull, and that can happen most commonly from a blow to the head, but it also can happen from a blow to another part of the body that just simply whiplashes or shakes the head, like a blow to your back that snaps your head back, or a blow to your chest that snaps it forward, or just a very violent blow to your body, period, that just shakes the whole body, the head included. Most of the time, concussion involves a metabolic injury, where cells over a period of time are still alive but are not functioning properly. There's various ionic disequilibriums. There's release of metabolites and things that cause cells to function and pass messages on that, for the most part, temporarily, are not working properly. And then if properly managed, in most cases, a concussion will clear up within 10 days to 2 weeks, but in about 20% of cases, symptoms can be prolonged.
Dr. Cantu, one question that we have is that people seem to be far more aware or at least conscious of concussions, and yet if we talk about things 10 years ago, the issue was not concussions. No one ever talked about it, but my guess is that even 10, 15, and even further, all those years ago, concussions were still taking place. We just didn't know about it. So why all the attention now?
Well, I think several things, and I think it's a bit of a perfect storm. We wrote our first return to play after a concussion for collision sports like football and ice hockey and so on over 30 years ago. So a few of us were studying concussions and writing about them and lecturing on them a long time ago. But you're absolutely right. Not a great deal of emphasis was placed on it. I think it started with Ted Johnson going public in 2007 with his post-concussion issues following mismanagement of concussions that he accumulated playing for the New England Patriots. I think in addition to Ted Johnson, the articles from Alan Swartz in the New York Times bringing up to conscious awareness the problems with concussions, the national media picked up on it. Certainly, the incidence of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, the occurrence of it in the National Football League, starting with Mike Webster, and now there have been more than 40 cases that have come forward in the last 5 years. So all of this has kind of occurred over the last 5 to 10 years, and so there's a tremendous heightened awareness of not only what concussions are, but most importantly, what can happen if they're mismanaged.
And doctor, what in terms of the young athletes? I mean, people listening to this show are our parents, coaches, youth sports administrators. Why are young athletes at a higher risk when it comes to concussions?
Well, there are several reasons. One is their brains are not fully myelinated. Myelin is the coating of the nerve fibers. It's kind of like coating on a telephone wire. It helps transmission, but most importantly, gives greater strength. So our young brains are much more susceptible to structural injury from violent shaking because they don't have a full myelination of each nerve fiber. Young brains also are more susceptible to the excitotoxic shock of concussion. That's the metabolic disruption that happens with concussion. And also our young brains, especially our youth, especially those under the age of 12, are housed in disproportionately large heads. 90% of our head size is accumulated by the age of 5. So our youth have incredibly large heads, and their necks are very, very weak. And this bobblehead doll effect greatly puts the brain at greater risk for injury.
We're speaking to Dr. Robert Cantu, who is one of his many lists of accomplishments is he is a consultant to the NFL and their injury program and protection program and expert on concussions. Doctor, I've been reading your book, Concussions and Our Kids, and one of the things that I really like a lot in the book is the whole concept of when in doubt, sit them out. Can you explain what that means?
There are two bad things, Greg, that can happen if somebody tries to play through a concussion, and unfortunately, an awful lot of people have in the past. Fewer are doing it today, but still quite a few are. One is that you put yourself at risk for the second impact syndrome, which has about a 50% mortality when it occurs. And so, fortunately, it's not common, but it does happen, and every year we lose some young people to that problem. But the most common thing that happens if you try to play through a concussion is you'll make the symptoms much worse, they'll last much longer, and you'll have something that might have cleared up within a day or two, certainly a week, now being extended, going on weeks if not months.
In your book, Concussions and Our Kids, you outline some of the sports and which ones are riskier. And I was very interested in the fact that you broke it down into the non-contact sports and then the contact sports. Can you just briefly explain the sports and which ones are riskier for today's youth athlete?
Well, every sport potentially could have a head injury, but certainly those sports in which there's a lot of body contact are at greatest risk. So At the top of the list is tackle football. A little bit below that is ice hockey. A little bit below that is lacrosse. And then you go on to basketball and baseball and so on, where the risk of head injury is still there, but it's much less.
And doctor, when one of the sections of your book, you talk, there's a couple of lines about the coaches. What do you, as a concussion expert, consider to be the coach's responsibility on the sidelines when it comes to either concussion prevention or if, in fact, the child is injured, what their responsibility is to that child and to that child's health?
Well, at the youth level, Greg, as you know, there really aren't medical personnel on the sideline. There's no certified athletic trainer. There's no doctor. And the coach kind of has to be looking out for the welfare of the youngsters. And so it's absolutely crucial that the coach understands what concussion symptoms are. And if there's any doubt that the youth may have had a concussion, that he sits them out and not allows them to go back. But at all levels, the coach should know those symptoms. And at all levels, the coach should be teaching proper technique and avoiding contact with the head whenever possible. And coaches, I think, need to think very long and hard about just how much full-body contact should be occurring. The National Football League, to their credit, the most recent collective bargaining agreement signed this past year, they only hit 14 times in 18 weeks of the season, and they don't have any full contact in the offseason at all. So they're having full contact practices only once, less than once a week. College and high school and youth are doing a lot more than that, and that's putting the brain at risk.
And what do you think these organizations, doctor, like whether it's Pop Warner Football, Little League, or the hockey, USA hockey programs? I know that in your book you outline some of the accomplishments and some of the progress they're making, but what do you think, you know, if the NFL can go out and in a collective bargaining agreement make this agreement about contact, what do you think needs to take place at the youth level, and why is there so much adversity to it?
Well, I think it's a matter of lack of knowledge, and you and your program are providing that knowledge, and I think it's getting out there, and I hope things will be very different within a few years. I believe strongly that tackle football should not be played under the age of 14. I think flag football should be played. I want football to be played. I want the skills of football to be learned. You can tackle dummies without bashing heads and getting head injuries. But I think our youth are at greater risk. Right now, Pop Warner says the reason why they're having tackle football as young as 5 years of age is because that's what the parents want. The parents are not signing their kids up as much for flag football as they are for tackle. Well, I think that needs to change, and I think when the parents get the proper information about the risks that their youngsters are undergoing by playing tackle football at a very young age, that they'll opt for flag football in the future.
That's great. We're speaking on Youth Sports Now with Dr. Robert Cantu and his most recent book, Concussions in Our Kids. He is absolutely America's leading expert on how to protect young athletes and to keep sports safe for the youth of America. And Dr. Cantu is going to be with us again in the second segment. And right now we're going to take a quick break from our and hear from our sponsors. And we'll be right back with Dr. Robert Cantu on Youth Sports Now.
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Little League, where dreams are made for children, where baseball's meaning is much more than the score, where a moment can last a lifetime. The Challenger Division. Log on to littleleague.org for more information.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
We're back on Youth Sports Now. I'm Greg Camp, your host for what I consider to be probably one of the most important shows that we're ever going to do here on Youth Sports Now. The topic is concussions, and it's an absolute privilege to have Dr. Robert Cantu, who is absolutely known as the world's most foremost expert on concussions. Very impressive resume, and gets to work with a lot of great people in professional sports. And Dr. Cantu, before we left, we talked a little bit about some of the sports. And what I'd like to ask you is, for your honest evaluation of the organization's policies on concussions, the organizations like Pop Warner, Little League, USA Hockey, American Youth Soccer, and even some of the cheerleading organizations, how do you evaluate their policies?
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's kind of upside down, Greg. And I realize that it's probably in part the result of pressures. But nonetheless, when you think that the National Football League, all the changes they've made since 2010, and you realize that they allow full body contact less than one time a week, that's very, very impressive. And unfortunately, you don't see that in the NC2A in colleges, and you don't see that in high school, where practices often are full contact two and three times a week in addition to gameplay. And the rules changes that have happened at the lower levels have often mimicked those that have been kind of handed down from the National Football League. Currently, nobody goes back into the same contest if they're thought of as having a concussion. But that came from the National Football League first, and then it was within months of them making that edict that the NC2A and subsequently high schools. So I think it's good that our youth sports are having less in the way of contact. Little League reduced the amount of time of hitting with each practice to 20 minutes, but they still are hitting more than is allowed in the National Football League. So I think things are a little bit upside down.
And so, Doctor, one of the things that's very interesting in your book, of course, many things are interesting in your book, Concussions and Our Kids, is when you talk about the testing of athletes when they are in, I guess, what I'll call a non-concussion state. How does that testing help you and help the medical professional later when and if that athlete does get a concussion?
Well, it's very, very important, Greg, because all of us have different degrees of reaction times, different degrees of balance and coordination, and even to a certain extent, there can be subtle changes in our neurologic exams. So when we know what someone's own baseline is, and then we can compare against that, we can make a much better assessment of whether they're below what their baseline originally was, or whether, as opposed to somebody whose balance may be always just a little bit less than perfect.
Do you think that people really understand that when and if they were to have a concussion, what it really means and the effect that it has on their life. You highlight a couple of athletes in your book regarding the things they had to do, which included leaving school for 2 months up to a year and stopping classes and taking tests. And they basically lived a very quiet life while they were recovering. I mean, do you think people really understand that? And what do we need to do so that parents and athletes and coaches can understand that?
Well, I guess read the book. No, what I mean really is that people do need to understand that there are consequences of mismanaging a concussion, and the consequences can be very serious. Second impact syndrome can be fatal, but the major consequence is you take a concussion which normally would clear up within days or a week and prolong it into post-concussion syndrome, which can last many weeks, if not months. So it's very, very important that concussions are, number one, recognized, and number two, treated appropriately. And if concussions are treated correctly, then one is not necessarily at risk for a worse concussion the next time around. I have had many, many individuals whose subsequent concussions were more mild than their earlier concussions because the blows were less. Probably the best example of that was Patrice Bergeron. The first time I saw him, he had symptoms because his head was driven through the plexiglass that lasted for 4.5 months, and he lost the season. Over a year later, when he returned, he had a second concussion. On that occasion, his symptoms lasted approximately 2 weeks, and he was out a month. And the following season, he had a concussion, and the symptoms lasted only 4 days, and he was only out 2 weeks. So subsequent concussions need not be worse than previous ones if the first ones have been managed correctly.
Doctor, I mean, I think, you know, your answer to that question brings up another one, which is there some sort of stereotypical or average, how many concussions can a person's head take?
It's a great question, but I think we need to look at what is a concussion, and I think we can't think that all concussions are created equal, because they're not. A concussion in which symptoms last for an hour is a very different brain injury than one who has a concussion and symptoms last for a year. Those are just poles apart, different of magnitude. In the instance of an individual that had post-concussion symptoms that lasted for a year or longer, maybe one concussion is all that that person can safely take. On the other hand, somebody who's had concussions and has had proper management and the symptoms have cleared up quickly, a number of individuals in my experience have had 5 to 10 of those kinds of concussions and have been able to quickly clear up.
You have, hopefully, all of Rochester listening to you, and Rochester is a community in which the SUNY Youth Sports Institute estimates that at least 80% to 85% of all the families in the Monroe County, Rochester area, that their children are involved in youth sports. If you have this audience, which you do right now, what would you tell the parents about concussions, both from the side of the myths that are out there, and also what would you tell them in terms of being a good parent and a parent that really takes care of their athlete?
Well, Greg, what we try to do in the book is empower the parents to understand what the symptoms are of concussion, number one. Number two, to allow them to know that they have a unique insight in terms of what is the normal personality of their child. I admit, in the teenage years, that sometimes can be problematic. But basically, they know better than anybody else what are the moods of their child. And so when their child doesn't have that sparkle in their eye, doesn't have that expression on their face, doesn't have the appetite that's normal for them, isn't sleeping the way they would normally sleep, a parent can be much more sensitive to that than a coach that may see the kid only for an hour and a half, or even a doctor who may see the individual for just a few number of minutes for the very first time in the first visit. So parents really can play a very significant role. We're not asking them to be doctors, of course. We're not asking them to diagnose concussions, but we're saying if kids have symptoms suggestive of a concussion, bring them to medical attention, bring them to a medical specialist who is a concussion expert.
You know, there's really interesting data that's out there, and we're certainly going to be doing more shows on concussions, and hopefully we'll be counting on you for some more vital information. But, you know, now I want to ask the same question. Now you have the opportunity to talk to youth coaches. You've got Little League, Pop Warner, USA Hockey. You have soccer, lacrosse, field hockey, the whole thing. What would you like to tell the coaches of Rochester to look out for and be aware of when it comes to concussions?
Well, I think the most important thing is to know the signs and symptoms of concussion, and certainly if a child's balance and equilibrium is significantly off, or if a child seems confused or dazed or stunned, or if a child has any loss of memory, any amnesia whatsoever, these are fairly obvious, flagrant things. But other things to be looked for is simply if an individual is hit and doesn't bounce back up the way they normally would, or if when they do get to their feet, they're holding both hands on their head as if their head hurts significantly. These are really red flags that that individual may have had a concussion, and the safe thing to do in those circumstances is to sit that individual out.
And finally, you know, Doctor, we look at, always, we look to major league sports. We look to the pros. And in this era of the NFL certainly doing things that are seem to be the right way for concussion prevention and treatment, we're also looking at things that have been reported in the news about, you know, suicides after a concussion, Junior Seau and certainly some other players. What do you think the connection is from the concussion to some of the depression and certainly the suicides of these professional athletes?
We could probably spend an hour on that, and it involves a lot of things. Some of it is the head trauma. In the case of Junior Seau, he was proven to have chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and the increased people with that problem have an increased risk of suicide. It's also important, though, to understand that if you're symptomatic from a concussion, you also have an increased risk of suicide as well. People who have head injuries that don't have CTE, just have concussions, there is a heightened risk of suicide around the concussion as well. It's not to say it's extremely high, but every year, tragically, we have individuals with concussions who commit suicide.
It has been an absolute pleasure, Dr. Cantu, to have you on Youth Sports Now. It's something that concussions are prevalent in our society and youth sports, and your expertise. First of all, we thank you for that expertise, and thank you for your work. Your new book is Concussions and Our Kids, and it's America's leading expert on how to protect young athletes and keep sports safe by Dr. Robert Cantu. And Doctor, thank you very much for being on the show. We appreciate it, and we certainly hope to have you on again in the future to continue the discussion on concussions.
Greg, thanks so much for having me. I'd be very happy to come back in the future.
Great. Thank you. We've been talking to Dr. Robert Cantu, and now we're going to take a quick break. And then we got my buddy Mike Naparella and your peak performance segment.
Proudly conservative. WYSL. Rochester's home for America's morning show with Quinn and Rose. 92.1 FM and 1040 AM. WYSL, Avon, Rochester.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
It's been an exciting night of Pee Wee Hockey, Billy.
These kids have really played their hearts out tonight, Joe.
And now in the stands, two mums drop their mittens, and it looks like they want to go. It's Porter's mom and Smith's mom. Smith's mom gets in two right hands.
Porter's got a real big size advantage in this one.
Now Wilkinson's mom comes in from behind. Wilkinson pulls Porter's cashmere sweater over her head.
I tell you, that's got to be one of the most unladylike things I've ever seen.
We got parents tearing up everywhere in the stands.
Absolute mayhem.
Relax. It's just a game. A message from USA Hockey.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home, where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural, where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete, where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you win. You'll feel the difference.
Coaching tips, practice planning, safety and conditioning, and everything in between. The Little League Coach Resource Center. Go to littleleaguecoach.org for more information.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
We're back on Youth Sports Now. I'm Greg Camp, your host, and we have our regularly scheduled segment every week on Youth Sports Now. Our third segment is the Peak Performance Physical Therapy segment. And we have my buddy Mike Naparella, who is the president and owner of Peak Performance Physical Therapy. I mean, first of all, Mike, I mean, Dr. Cantu, to have him on the show and to hear his insights was just incredible to hear some of the things that he had to say about concussions.
Yeah, it's good to be here. He's an absolute leader in that field. For the 25 years I've been a physical therapist involved in sports medicine and sports physical therapy, he's been the number one leader in terms of literature and in books and courses and seminars. So lots of what we know is all based on the stuff that he's done.
Well, I'm going to modestly say and very happily say we got him. He was ours tonight on Youth Sports Now. Mike, you know, with Peak Performance, and this is your Peak Performance segment, concussions has been the topic of today's show. And, you know, from a physical therapy side, is there anything that can be done to help prevent concussions or, you know, their severity?
Well, and first, along the lines, I'd just like to emphasize how really important this topic is that you're bringing up today, because when you listen to Dr. Cantu's comments about some of those athletes that he's worked with where someone has symptoms for 4 days, and to remember that they were actually out for 2 weeks. Someone had symptoms for 2 weeks. They were out for a month. Very impactful injury on an athlete. And the Journal of Neurosurgery back in 2007 looked at concussions and collision forces, for example, and commented at the end of that study that increasing neck strength was one of the things that may be helpful at reducing the rate of acceleration that someone experiences. Dr. Cantu mentioned the body whiplash sort of effect. Not all concussions are from a direct blow to the head. It can be a jarring or shocking sort of force that happens to the body from a collision elsewhere or fall. And that's where I think the preventive side can come in. I'm not aware of any studies specifically that have looked at proactively a prevention program and then looking at the incidence of concussions, but some of those studies would suggest having increased neck strength and really going beyond that to body control may start to be able to buffer some of those forces that end up getting into the brain. As he said, it's a whiplash and ultimately a shock of the brain inside the skull.
Well, it's interesting because part of what he highlights in the book is some facts about the, you know, blindside hits, whether it be in the NHL or any hockey league for that matter, and then also in football, that at least even at a young athlete's you know, size and age, if they have at least some notification that they're going to get hit, they can brace themselves for that, which I think brings up a good point. You know, when someone gets a concussion, Are there other injuries that may occur that are missed or tend to take a back seat to the concussion that athletes and parents need to be aware of?
That's an awesome question. You know, a lot of the studies that have been done actually will group head and neck injuries together, and concussion becomes part of that. So we've got to remember that when these things are being looked at, they oftentimes are looked at in total. Concussion is certainly part of the head and neck, but you also have the ligaments of the neck, the muscles of the neck. And so a whiplash or jarring injury of the body is also something that's going on. And very often with an athlete, when they sustain a concussion, our first and primary concern medically, of course, is the status of their brain and that healing and metabolism that Dr. Cantu talked about. But we shouldn't forget that orthopedically, you know, probably at a lower level of severity and concern, but not to be missed and ignored, is the fact that they may have had a whiplash injury to their neck, and that spinal injury, just like a car accident, needs to be dealt with as well.
So what, you know, from a physical therapy and from a strengthening standpoint, what can a young athlete do to strengthen their necks, to improve their ability to take the jarring that happens from the collision or the fall or even the tackling?
Well, first of all, we want to remember that the neck, when we think of the neck, the first thing we think of is just the neck is this group of bones that goes from the base of your shoulders up to your skull. But we've got to remember it's a lot more complicated than that. And we think of that old cartoon where the knee bone's connected to the thigh bone sort of thing. We need to extend that into the neck and think about the head is sitting on top of that cervical spine. There's ligaments that connect all those bones together that create integrity and stability there. That cervical spine is sitting on top of the thoracic spine of the mid-back. And there's muscles that run from the base of the skull to the neck, from the neck to the shoulders, from the neck even down to the thoracic and the lumbar spine. So it's not just that we think of the neck as a single segment, but it's really part of a whole system. So when you're trying to prepare somebody for that jarring collision, it's really not even just the neck that we want to think about. We have to functionally think of the body as a segment. And as Doc mentioned, you may have a jarring mechanism that occurs down in the lumbar spine or the pelvis, and that could create a shock wave or a whiplash sort of mechanism that even impacts your brain. So when we think about preparing somebody for taking a hit, we don't even think of just the neck. We think of the body as a segment or a whole. So when we do that, the simplest way is just like if you sit there and let's say with your left hand, hold the left side of your head, and if you push against your fingers, that's called an isometric. You're activating your muscles. There's no movement going on. But that muscle activates, and that's like the old Charles Atlas cartoons. That's one of the earliest ways of strengthening. That's a simple way that an athlete could begin strengthening their neck. And oftentimes, athletes like wrestlers or football players in their preseason training may be doing things like that, where they do these isometrics in various directions to try to strengthen their neck. That's probably the lowest level or form of strengthening, but that would be the base where we might start people.
Mike, you know, you've mentioned before on this show that you may be the president and the owner and the head PT at Peak Performance, but you are also a dad. And, you know, as you think about concussions, as you go through your daily activity of running a physical therapy facility, what do you think and what goes through your mind with your own kids when it comes to the possibility of a concussion? I mean, where's your head at on this stuff?
Absolutely. I experienced this firsthand two different times. One was live and one was from a distance. My older son, Jordan, played college football at Alfred State and, you know, had a bell ringer sort of episode and had a mild concussion. And fortunately, they've got good athletic trainers there. They're able to take good care of him, keep an eye on his signs and symptoms, and make sure that he wasn't going back until those symptoms had cleared. And so, you know, that was obviously a jarring collision sport where those risks are much higher. He played wide receiver. You're up in the air getting hit all the time. So it could be scary. I also, in basketball, you know, Dr. Cantu mentioned, you know, in terms of that order of severity, sports like football and hockey and, you know, lacrosse, sports that we characterize as collision sort of sports as being high risk, but basketball as well. You know, my son Kyle, a number of years ago playing CYO basketball, you know, got hit in the game, fell and hit his body on the floor. I don't believe that I saw him hit his head. And when he did, that shock caused a momentary, probably 5-second seizure-looking appearance. And we were about to call 911, and he came out of it very quickly, and we monitored the symptoms, and he ended up being okay. But it's scary as a parent.
that's, you know, I think it is. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to have my children, when they've played sports, not to ever be in a situation like that. So I can only imagine. But again, when you're in the business, if you will, of physical therapy and the medical profession, it's got to be probably a little bit more scarier, because you know what the risks are. You know, as we wrap things up here, Mike, you know, if an athlete does sustain a concussion and is also having neck strain at the same time, you know, can they ask their doctor about seeing you for physical therapy while they're waiting for the concussion symptoms to resolve? Or do they have to wait till once they have been resolved?
That's an awesome question. I think certainly, you know, those athletes are obviously under medical care at the time. They need to consult with their physician and see what their advice is. But I would suggest that for most of those kids, unless they're if they're having very high level symptoms, they're on dark room, quiet, you know, no visual and audio sort of stimulus environments, they're not appropriate to leave the house and go to physical therapy. But for kids who've been removed from sporting environments but are still going to school and otherwise leading relatively normal lives, who are having that whiplash cervical injury still bothering them, they can probably come into physical therapy, and we'd be able to do, as we mentioned that last week, the myriad of things that we do to try and help people in terms of range of motion work, strengthening work, hands-on techniques to try and resolve some of those symptoms and help them get over the neck part of that injury and get them back on the field or court quicker.
Great, Mike. You know, as always, some super information from Mike Naparella at Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, and just, you know, some really vital stuff that that needs to take place with our youth athletes. A couple of reminders, you know, you can certainly go to our website, youthsportsnowradio.com, and you can see kind of who's coming up on future shows and some of the topics, as well as visit some of our sponsors and to see what they're doing. On Twitter, you know, we are at youthsportsnow1, as in the number one. So it's at youthsportsnow and the number one. And if you have comments, questions that you would like to ask of our experts, or if you'd even like to suggest some topics, you can certainly email us at youthsportsnowradio@rochester.rr.com, or you can just go to the website and put in a comment there, and we'd be happy to answer and also get your questions and topics on the air for U Sports Now. We've got a great segment coming up next, and we're going to be talking about some ski slope safety for your kids, as well as just the effects of everyday concussions that take place in youth sports. We'll be back on Youth Sports Now.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
It's been an exciting night of Pee Wee Hockey, Billy.
These kids have really played their hearts out tonight, Joe.
Now in the stands, two mums drop their mittens, and it looks like they want to go. It's Porter's mom and Spitzbum. Spitzbum gets in two right hands.
Porter's got a real big size advantage in this one.
Now Wilkinson's mom comes in from behind. Wilkinson posts Porter's cashmere sweater over her head.
I tell you, that's got to be one of the most unladylike things I've ever seen.
We got parents tearing up everywhere in the stands.
Absolute mayhem.
Relax. It's just a game. A message from USA Hockey.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name.
Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jim Andrews. I've worked closely with Little League to develop pitch count regulations. Our goal is to protect our youth baseball players from suffering arm injuries. Go to littleleague.org for more information.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Youth Sports Now. I'm Greg Camp, your host, and today's topic has been concussions with youth athletes and some of the things that parents can do, coaches should do, and sports administrators can get into in terms of policy with concussions. It's been a great show, and we're not going to fail here in our last segment of Youth Sports Now. With us, we have somebody who I actually haven't known for a long time, but have known for a long time. As many of you know, I'm the president of Penfield Little League, and with us is Ray McLean. And Ray is one of the coaches, unbeknownst to me. I apologize, Ray, but he is one of our coaches in the Penfield Little League program. And Ray is the injury prevention outreach and education coordinator at the Kessler Trauma Center at Strong Memorial Hospital. He's an RN with 21 years in EMS services, and he's been a flight paramedic for the past 11 years and just has a vast knowledge of everything concussions, and certainly his knowledge as a father and also as a coach make him a wonderful expert to kind of wrap things up with here on Youth Sports Now and our topic of concussions. Ray, first of all, welcome. And I guess I want to start off with getting your perspective and getting some of your reaction to Dr. Cantu's comments and Mike's comments on concussions.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Greg. Dr. Cantu and Mike, very knowledgeable. I agree with them 100%. Concussions are a serious thing, and is like we talked about before, 10 years ago, there wasn't a lot of knowledge on this. And it scares me as a father, the literature that has come out in the past few years, what do we do going forth? So,
What do you think has been the lack of awareness? As we mentioned, earlier in the show, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and certainly beyond, we've had issues where we know for a fact now that people have received concussions. But at the time, there was never any discussion. It was kind of, hey, get up, kid, dust off your uniform and get back in the game. I mean, why is it taken so long, do you think, to get us to where we are now?
I just think it's a progress. Research, we didn't have CTs back 20 years ago, you know. So the more data that we collect, the more research that medical centers do, we have this knowledge coming forth. What can we do going forth is be aware of everything that's going on. And like you said, from my perspective, I'm bringing personally a father, I'm a coach, medical professional. I think with those being combined, I have a good foresight of what can happen. So when I'm on the baseball field, if I see a kid swinging a bat where he shouldn't be, put the bat down, because I could see what's coming up next. You know,
So what do you think are the things that coaches and parents need to be even more aware of? You know, we've been talking about concussions and the fact that it happens with youth athletes, but you know, we've learned through Dr. Cantu's book and certainly through things that we see on radio and television and so on, there are kids playing contact hockey and contact football at you know, young ages. In fact, before the show started, I got an email from a friend of mine who is a hockey coach, and he coaches at the 9-year-old level. And he told me in this email that this year alone, they've already had 4 concussions. These are 9-year-old kids. So, you know, what's it going to take to get more attention, get coaches in line, and also to get the parents in line and the sports programs in line to realize that, you know what, hey, maybe at 7 and 8 years old, they probably shouldn't be playing contact sports?
It's going to take communication, and one of the first steps is what you're doing here with this show, is getting it out to the public. As a coach, you need to have parent meetings. You need to have coaching meetings. You need to have it on an organizational level. As a parent, you need to be aware of your kid. You need to be aware of the equipment that they use. So what can you do? You could do pre-checks on their equipment. You know, if... check to see if it's cracked. Check to see if the straps are on tight. Once the kid goes out and plays and rides his bike, plays football, plays baseball, and then he throws his equipment in the garage, you want to recheck it. Because my kids, they're 13. My oldest is 13. My middle one's 10. And my youngest is 8. They come home from riding their bikes and they throw their helmets in the background, you know, in the garage. Piled up. Do I check them every day? No. Should I? Absolutely. Because I don't know if they've fallen off their bike. I don't know. They're not going to tell me. So I should be going out there checking and making sure everything's set.
You know, that's really good advice. And I would suggest to parents and coaches and youth administrators that equipment check is probably a really smart idea before every game and before every practice. In talking with Ray here, I mean, I was thinking that for my team, I check equipment at the beginning of the season, and then I probably don't check it again until we get to All-Star season and make sure that it's all up to code. But, you know, for you coaches out there, check that equipment all the time. Check it before practices and games and make sure that we're not putting the kids at risk. With us is Ray McLean from the University of Rochester and the Kessler Trauma Center. Ray, you've got something coming up with the University of Rochester and Bristol Mountain, which is coming up, I guess, this Saturday, February 16th, and it has something to do with really protecting our kids and avoiding injury. Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on out at Bristol Mountain?
Oh, absolutely. Part of our initiatives at the Kessler Trauma Center are to research the community and look for injury patterns that, you know, come into the hospital. And one of them is, it's not a big number, but some kids do come in with head injuries as a result of winter sports. So we had a grant approved through the American Trauma Society, and we purchased helmets, and we're going to go out to Bristol Mountain this Saturday. And if a kid takes a ski lesson, learns how to ski appropriately, and comes talks to a trauma nurse about head injuries and has an educational session on that, and if there's a need, if the kid's not wearing a helmet, we're going to say, hey, let's fit you appropriately. Let's get you on the ski slope. Let's do it right. Research has shown recently that proper headwear on a ski slope will reduce the incidence of a head injury by 50%.
That's actually pretty amazing, because, you know, we don't often think of skiing as a injury for the head type of sport, but it really is. So, you know, from what I have here, Bristol Mountain, I guess, is going to have $45 ski and snowboard lessons for the kids of all abilities on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11:30 and 2 p.m. And that a beginner class is also scheduled for 5 p.m. And, you know, Ray and his group of people from Kessler will be there to make sure that all these kids are really taken care of and they're safe out on the ski slopes. Ray, when you go out there as a coach, and then you try and sort of differentiate being a coach and also a medical professional, how do you do it in the sense that, you know, I'm not a medical professional, but I am a coach. So I have no conflict or I don't know too much where I can be dangerous. But, you know, you are a medical professional and you're a coach. How do you balance that to let the kids have fun and do what they're there to do, but at the same time, make sure that they're safe?
That's a great question. You know, trying to throw that in a combination, there's a lot of legalities involved. And the first thing you have to do is what's in the best interest for the child. Get their parents involved. Let them make an informed decision on how to treat their child. If I suspect there's any kind of head injury, the kid's going to sit for the rest of the day. Absolutely. They're going to go to their parents. I'm going to let legal official know that their kid got hurt, and hopefully they can't come back until a doctor signs off on approval. And I would suggest that with any kind of sport or any kind of injury, you need to have professional approval to come back.
And so then you would approve of Dr. Cantu's belief, which is, you know, when in doubt, pull them out and get them out of the game.
100%. Even my little one, Chris, 8 years old, playing football, he got hit pretty hard last year, and he said, "Dad, my head hurts." I pulled him out. As one of those dads, I wanted to keep playing because he's a really good athlete. And there was an ethical decision, you know, what do I do? So I pulled him out. We went to see the doc. He was okay. But you have to do it. You have to look out for the best interests of the kids.
That's great. And Ray McLean has been with us from the Kessler Trauma Center at the University of Rochester, Strong Memorial Hospital. And he's given us some great information. And we're going to put a link on our website. Our website is youthsportsnowradio.com. And there's some great concussion information that is out there from the Center for Disease Control. And we're going to be putting a link up there for you. It's called Heads Up Concussion in Youth Sports. And we'll put the link there because there's some really vital information that is important for parents and coaches. We'll also put a link up there to Dr. Cantu's book, which is, as far as I'm concerned, a must read for all youth sports administrators, coaches, and parents. So we're going to keep this conversation going with concussions. A quick tease for next week's show. Next week's show, it seems like I'm always privileged to interview these people with Dr. Cantu today. Next week, we're going to be interviewing a former NBA basketball player who has turned to be a youth sports expert. His name is Bob Bigelow, and Bob played for the Celtics, and he was a number one draft pick back in the day for the NBA. He has written a book, which is a couple years old, called Just Let the Kids Play, and it's about how to stop adults from ruining your child's fun and success in youth sports. So Bob is going to be with us next week on Youth Sports Now. Remember, follow us on Twitter at Youth Sports Now and the number one, Youth Sports Now One. And of course, check out our website at youthsportsnowradio.com. This has been Youth Sports Now special show on concussions. We very much appreciate all our guests, Dr. Robert Cantu from Massachusetts. He's the consultant to the NFL on concussions. Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy, and Ray McLean from the Kessler Trauma Center over at the University of Rochester Medical Center. This has been Youth Sports Now. Please remember, we replay the show on Saturdays at 1 o'clock here on WISL, and you can always download the podcast. This has been Youth Sports Now. Please come on back.
This has been Youth Sports Now. And parents, coaches, and players, it's your turn. Time to hit the practice fields, the training tables, and most important, the books. Work hard on the field and in school this week, and let's all meet right back here next Wednesday night at 6:30. Youth Sports Now, Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete, is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping our young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic College Prep School for grades 6 through 12. And by Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, gain the competitive edge with performance vision. To contact Youth Sports Now, visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.